Hi, this is David Kay, and you're listening to Altered Geek. Geek.
Get altered, get geeky, it's a wild ride. Join the discussion, let's dive into lore. From Star Trek to Transformers, we're ready to soar. Superheroes clash as we spark up the flame. Altered Geek Podcast, remember the name.
Hello, and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron. And joining me on this adventure into geekdom is TFG1 Mike.
Holy crap, folks. It's been 12 or 13 years since Steve and the other Mike, who isn't here, we wish he was here, but he's not here, Powers started Altered Geek. Damn.
Been a long time.
Y'all are teenagers now.
Yep.
Yep. But we are here to do the normal thing we always do.
Yep, it wouldn't be Altered Geek without talking about some cool geek stuff. And as usual, SDCC has occurred.
Yes, it has.
And there's some pretty cool stuff. I mean, tons of stuff. Not everything is something that we intentionally care about, but there's quite a bit. I mean, I, in particular, have a lot that pertains to Trek in this particular lineup and Transformers.
Yeah.
Not surprising.
This is kind of like, we are going to do a separate All Things Transformers anniversary show for All Things Transformers, obviously, but the surprising thing for Altered Geek this week, folks, is we actually have Transformer stories in this podcast, which we normally don't do because we have All Things Transformers that is dedicated to Transformers news. However, because it is SDCC, CCCCCCC, we have to do some Transformers news here on Altered Geek because that's what we like. So, yeah.
So, yeah, so there's that. We're going to have some various news, some of it TV, some of it toys, some of it comics, some of it just kind of all over the place. And then we're going to have a brief discussion about Happy Gilmore 2, because I know we're going to cover it more in depth on Studio 2009.
Yeah. At some point.
Along with its predecessor.
Yeah, it's okay. So we're going to do a spoiler filled review here on Altered Geek. And next year is the original film's 30th anniversary. And Steve knows how anal I am with anniversaries. So it's probably going to be a double thing at some point next year. But yeah, so we wanted to talk about Happy Gilmore 2 as it was released on Netflix this year. I don't know why they didn't wait until next year to coincide with whatever. It is what it is. But we're here on Altered Geek to talk about all this stuff. And obviously, the 12th anniversary of the audio podcast. Holy crap, dude. 447 episodes in 12 years. Did you think this show would get 447 episodes in 12 years?
I'm rather quite surprised it's still going, but that's, I mean, there were points where I was like, I'm done. I'm hanging in the towel. Like, it, very much like I did with All Things Transformers, where I was kind of like, I'm done. Going to do something else. We'll see. But yeah, it didn't happen.
No, It's like that old line. I thought I was out and they pulled me back in.
And that's literally what happened with All Things Transformers.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. I literally quit that show.
Yeah.
Three times.
Yeah.
And it was brought back every time.
Oh, yeah. It, you know, that show is like the least favorite, our least favorite character who has, you know, the indestructible spark. That show is basically Starscream. It'll never die because it has an indestructible spark who takes over Waspinator's body, you know. So, but yeah, man, I mean, you're essentially, if I have the math right, 53 episodes away from 500. Which means that Altered Geek would be the second longest show on the network behind The Pull Bag and All Things Transformers. Third longest show.
Yeah, All Things Transformers, it's funny enough, it's pretty close to, I mean, this is episode 447.
Yep.
All Things Transformers, the last episode was 447.
Yep.
So they'll probably hit 500 right around the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Because
of
the frequency and cadence that we record, they'll probably hit it at the same week. Same
time. Yep.
Now, probably. What would be awesome is if they hit it on their next anniversary date.
We can do that. We can figure that out, which means if we wanted to do that, they would probably have to go on hiatus at some point during next year. Like we would have to go off and finish Pod Meets World, or not Pod Meets World, is Daniel Fishel, Ryder Strong. We would have to finish Podcaster Meets World. We would have to start Altered Trek. We would have to do something else in order to let these shows sit until we get to the point of that last week.
I would probably put them on a bigger gap.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Between episodes, not too much to where it's not pertinent. Like,
once a month or once,
If we did once a month, we'd only get 12 episodes.
Okay, but I'm saying, like, we're at 447.
Yeah.
We need 50.
I've got other podcasts, too. I want to try and pick up, like, the Cyber Dragon Ball, Altered Trek.
Yeah.
I might do a companion podcast for my book that's coming out after this release, like a week.
So both shows currently, as of this recording, are at 447 episodes. We need 53 episodes to get both shows to 500. So we would have to record, basically, let's just say, for my insanity, like my Studio 2009 insanity, we would have to record 53 days of podcasting. I know we're not going to do 53 days in a row, but you understand what I'm saying? Like, we would have to produce the show. You know what I mean? And
we would have to do one a week.
Right.
For the next year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
to hit the goal. Because, 52 weeks. That's... We'll see. Who knows? We'll see.
Who knows?
But yeah, it's crazy. It's still going. And
yeah. It's a lot of fun, and we still have fun every week. And I, it's your show, but I think we should introduce we can still do the news and topics and whatever, but we could always introduce new things.
Oh, I know. And I've got ideas fleshed out. I just need time to sit and ponder them. And I want to make sure they come to fruition, because there's been a lot of times I sit down and I'm like, this is a great idea. I want to do this. And then I mention it on the show and then it never happens. And I'm like, that's yeah.
Well,
so I want to make sure whatever I say, it actually happens. So
yeah, it's time to execute, Mr. Oh, Dallas is going to get canceled, you asshat.
Never know. There's other things I think are going to get canceled this year, but whatever the next Law and Order is. No. Anyways, so getting into it, like the beginning stuff, it's some Star Trek news.
Yes, this is all for you, sir.
So Starfleet Academy.
Mm hmm.
It's a new original series that'll premiere in early 2026. It's got the old Starfleet Academy font, like the old Star Trek font that they used for the original films and I want to say Deep Space Nine.
Right.
And then the step into your future that's that's essentially another font that they've used in like the Kelvin universe type stuff. But it's neat because they show six individuals on the logo. They've got some new aliens. It's also going to be used to kick off the fact that Trek has been around for 60 years at that point.
Nice.
So it'll hit its 60th anniversary next year. It's going to take place in the main campus in San Francisco.
Very cool.
And what's interesting is Discovery, because it takes place in the 32nd century.
Yep.
Which is beyond the 25th century that we left off with Picard. They had an Enterprise, like a segment that's like the 31st century or something, and it's got, you know, Agent Daniels, who's on the Enterprise serving with Scott Bakula.
Right.
And Jonathan Archer. And he, his whole part of the timeline, like he's like time police. And Discovery, as much as I hated it, because it came from the 23rd century, but pre-Kirk.
Right.
And they ended up there, and then there was like this dilithium thing that happened, that it ignited a bunch of ships, and then a lot of the fleets kind of went to themselves. Earth became like their own entity instead of part of Starfleet. Starfleet was so far removed from everybody that they just kind of became their own. Well, they reunified like all the different races in Discovery before it closed off. Mm-hmm. And so now these students are the first batch of new Academy students to hit Starfleet Academy, which had been defunct for like 200 years. And it's on Earth again, which again had been 200 years since like the burn. And whatever I think is irrelevant of the series, but they've got some heavy hitters coming to the series. They've got some newbies. I'm not 100% sure if I'm going to love it or not. They're going to take place on the USS Athena. And so Holly Hunter is playing Nala Ake, the Chancellor of Starfleet Academy and captain of the USS Athena, who is a long-lived half-Lanthanite, which I believe the Lanthanites are in Strange New Worlds. They're like a humanoid species that can live for thousands of years. Among humans, and so they basically, so one of them is named Pelia, is on Strange New Worlds serving as the chief engineer in the second and third season at some point, because they've introduced Scotty at the end of season two and he's there in season three and is very green and young. She's schooling him on being a miracle worker and coming up with solutions under pressure and things like that. So eventually, like, because she's teaching him, so at some point she'll move on and Scotty will take over as chief engineer and history will progress as needed. But anyways, the Lanthanite is a new species created for that, and so it's interesting they're bringing that back for this show. And then of course we get the Klingons, the first time that they're back, and he's serving as a science officer in this version. There's a couple of like humans. The Klingons still look a little weird, like because the beard and stuff looks strange, and then he's got like ear piercings and like an eyebrow ring or whatever, and it's like, okay, come on. But
okay, this is gonna sound stupid, but Worf is a Klingon, right?
Yes.
Okay, he's the only Klingon I ever cared about. Same. End of line. Like, I don't care.
I liked Martok, too.
Okay, fine. That's fine. But, like, I don't care. I've never cared about any of the rest of them. I don't know.
Well, at some point in the future, they become
the Master Race or something.
Well, no, they join with Starfleet.
Mm.
Like at some point in the future. So that's, he's going to be a medical officer, or wants to be one in this situation. Okay. And then they've got a Kaskian, whatever the heck that is. That's something new. They've got a Kynonian, which again is something new, and a Darsha, whatever that is. And then they've got, you know, a Betazoid, as the daughter of the president of Betazoid. And then they've got Robert Picardo reprising his role as the holographic doctor, which that I'm more interested in than anything else, because it's like, is this the doctor from Voyager, or is this the duplicate holographic doctor from one of the episodes where he takes a shuttle and is heading home?
Yeah.
And they said from wherever he was at, it would take 1,000 years. So I'm wondering which version of the doctor we're dealing with here.
Yeah.
Plus the holographic, he had like a hollow emitter that was attached to his arm. Well, now those are built into the comm badge, just like the tricorder is too, and the transporter. Right. So, and they've got Tig Notaro playing Jet Reno, who was in Discovery, Oded Fear, reprising as Admiral Vance, who was in Discovery. They've got a Klingon Jem'Hadar hybrid, which is interesting, considering Jem'Hadar are grown and not reproduced. And it's supposed to be the Chancellor's first officer. So we'll see how that works. But Paul Giamatti is playing a part Klingon, part Tellarite, which Tellarite are like the pig people.
Yep.
So he's part Klingon and part Tellarite. So that should be interesting to see how this plays out. But he's got apparently an ominous past connected to one of the cadets, obviously. So it's like Power Rangers in space. So, I mean, all that to say, I'm interested to see what they do with it. I'm not very optimistic. It can't be any worse than Discovery or Section 31. Like Section 31 is like the bottom feeder that I would say for Star Trek at this point, like even making Discovery look good.
Yeah.
So, and Discovery is by far my least favorite of this new era of the television series. So, but anyways,
I just don't know who Star Trek is for anymore, because you don't. Okay. So when I grew up, because you were only 1 year old when Next Gen started, I was seven. In 1987, when Next Gen first aired, I don't remember the exact plot of like the first five episodes of Next Generation, but I remember just the feeling of watching that show. Same thing with Deep Space Nine, when that, like, I was glued to Deep Space Nine and Stargate SG-1. Those two shows for sci-fi television in the late 80s, early to mid 90s, I was glued to my television watching those. Nowadays, we don't have actors like Jean-Luc Picard. I mean, Jean-Luc Picard is still here. Patrick Stewart is still here. But like this generation, the kids of this generation don't have the actors and actresses that we had. Like, there is no William Shatner for this generation. You know what I mean? Like, the Hollywood that is now is not the Hollywood that was from 1966. So I don't understand who the Star Trek of this generation is for.
I don't think, like, they even know. I'm being for real.
I don't think
they actually know.
That's so sad.
But that being said,
that's so sad.
We have also Star Trek Strange New Worlds. Season 3 is currently ongoing. Season 4 is just wrapped. And Season 5 will be the final season of Strange New Worlds. And then they've mentioned that they'd like to do Kirk and his crew before the first episode of the original series. Because obviously he's not green in that first episode. Like, he's already kind of a little bit seasoned.
Okay.
And works with like Sulu and Scotty and Spock at that point. Chekov comes much later. Uhura's on the ship, and we don't know if McCoy is there or not. But that being said, they want to do a Star Trek and call it Year One, because they already have all the sets for Strange New Worlds, and it would just carry over into the original series with the original series crew.
Yeah.
Kind of building up to the original series and connecting the dots. I don't think it's necessary, but I get why they want to kind of stretch those dollars of using this set.
Yeah, you got to use the old sets. Heaven forbid you spend money to make new ones.
Now, what they could do is update the sets and give it the refit from the movies, and then go like from the time frame of the end of the Undiscovered Country or the Enterprise B launching through to the beginning of TNG. Because there's that whole lost time period there.
Yeah, you could do that.
Which everybody would love to see them do, except for the fact people are worried they'll screw it up. But
yeah, that's the problem, is that everything.
I don't think we need all of these gaps filled in.
Right, exactly. But like, that's the problem with us as fans and us as people who love the stuff that we love, that we want to see them do. We want to see the creators do certain things. And when they either do them or don't do them, we're like, oh, you screwed it up when you did it. Or, oh, I can't believe you didn't do it. We get so mad or so upset either way. It's like, we can't be pleased. Like, it doesn't matter whatever they do, kind of thing. And that's what sucks, because, you know, we need to be better than that as fans of whatever it is.
But yeah, they're going to have a episode with puppets.
Yes, they are.
With the Jim Henson's Creature Shop.
Yep.
Directed by Jordan Canning of Fraggle Rock, Back to the Rock.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so there's.
I'll let you speak on this, because, like, I'm not in love with this idea of. I mean, they've already had a Star Trek musical. They've already done. You know, they've done other stuff, which the original series had a lot of wacky, weird stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
I can get behind even the musical episode.
Mm-hmm.
This to me is a little too far. Like, there was an episode in the previous season where they brought two of the characters from Lower Decks getting sucked into the past.
Right.
And that was cool. But
yeah,
because they were dropping all kinds of references, you know, to the future, and Pike was like, shut up.
Yeah, shut up. Stop ruining things. Yeah.
But he's like, I already know, like, about my future, because they're like, oh my goodness, what happened? And he's like, I already know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like, why do we need Muppet episodes?
Yeah. Here's the thing, though. Like, it's television trying too hard, I think. Plenty of shows have done this, like you mentioned. TV shows have done musicals, they've done this, they've done that, they've done whatever. I remember the Buffy the Vampire Slayer did a musical. Angel did a puppet episode where I loved Puppet Angel. Puppet Angel was David Boreanaz as Angel as a puppet was hilarious. Now, I have never watched any of this Star Trek stuff because I am old school classic TNG DS9 Star Trek type of fan, and I am specifically waiting to watch any Star Trek stuff until we start Altered Trek, the GCRN Star Trek review podcast that we will be starting at some point. hopefully by next year for the 60th anniversary of Star Trek. But the thing is that, and that's why I'm speaking on this as far as like what I've seen of other shows that have done this. Star Trek doesn't need fucking puppets. I'm sorry to use the F word, but Star Trek doesn't need puppets, folks. It just does. It just flipping doesn't. Like, seriously, really? Like, Star Trek is the serious show. So it like, this is like, if they wanted to go and do a special separate from the episode and do something like, you know, 1978 Star Wars holiday special and have it a Star Trek holiday special for Halloween or something and not have it a part of whichever one of the shows it is, sure, fine. Go ahead, do something separate with the puppets, but don't bring the puppets into your show. Now, if you're turning, like, if you're doing what Angel did, where it was a curse and he walked through a door, or he did something with whatever, he walked through a door and there was this giant like thing that smiled at him and turned him into a puppet. If you're going to turn your characters into a puppet, that could be funny and fine and whatever. And the plot could be, they have to figure out how to get, you know, how to not be puppets anymore. But if you're just bringing actual puppets in to work with your, that's freaking dumb. Don't freaking do that. Stop freaking being stupid with Star Trek. You're going to insult your show. You're going to insult us, the audience. And I'm not even watching your freaking show right now. And I know this is a stupid idea. Are you freak?
Anyways,
I'm trying not to use the other F word, folks. I've already used it once or twice. I'm trying my best because I know he doesn't like it when I do it. So freak. No Star Trek. Don't. No, don't. And stop.
Freaking Star Trek.
So that being said, Nacelle Toys, who they do the toys that made us and.
Yep.
The movies that made us and all that stuff. Yep, I guess they're coming out with another Toys That Made Us season at some point.
Yep.
But they have genuinely impressed me.
Well, have they now?
So wave two of the Star Trek line, because wave one, we kind of already knew about, you know, they've teased line or wave two after wave one, and wave two is going to have, you know, we've talked about it before. For instance, that Star Trek Generations Captain Kirk that I wanted since I was a kid, mm-hmm. when the film came out, like an authentically good one, looks like Shatner, you know, just love the uniform. So it comes with like the jar of dillweed, the eggs, the axe, the firewood, the stump, the horse.
Right.
So I will get that when that comes out, but that looks like it's the beginning of next year, and it's, you know, legit going to be cool. But they're, you know, they're going to have various eras. They're going to have a lot of the sailor uniform crew of the Enterprise D from Generations. They're going to have, you know, like the Romulan commander and Nog and, you know, certain ones of that. So they revealed at Comic-Con wave 3 and 4.
Oh, wow.
And wave 3 has the entire cast of the original series.
Oh, wow. That's hilarious.
So they have Kirk, they have Spock, McCoy, Uhura, Sulu, Chekhov, Scotty,
nice,
Nurse Chapel, Janice Rand. And then it says a surprise 2-pack, and it doesn't say of who. So with the detail that I've seen on their figures up to this point, I'm highly enthused and looking forward to it. It almost reminds me of like the Toy Asylum or Art Asylum figures that came out years ago.
Yeah.
And then they were just kind of like unobtainable, and they were, one, I was broke, and then two, it was just.
Yeah.
I just didn't get them. And so I missed out. So these are kind of neat because, one, they'll all be in scale, but two, I could get Kirk. I could get McCoy. I could get Spock.
Mm-hmm.
And I could get Scotty, which are my main four.
Yeah.
And I could get them in their original series uniforms, which is nice.
Yeah.
But the surprise two pack is to celebrate the 60th anniversary of Trek. So I'm wondering if we might get like a Captain Pike in the chair. Or like a original series Captain Pike from the original pilot.
Yeah.
Because they can't sell anything Star Trek from 2009 onward. Because it's a different studio, different licensing. Like it's the Abramsverse and Kurtzman.
Yep.
Anything from the Kurtzman era cannot be produced by Nacelle.
Right.
They have the rights for
the original stuff. Yeah.
Pre-2009. And it's also only in America
for Nacelle. Interesting.
Yeah. Master Collector has the license to everything modern Trek. And so they have like Star Trek Picard and Lower Decks and Strange New Worlds. And I don't have those here, but I'll talk about them in a minute. Wave 4 has Captain Sisko from Deep Space Nine in his, you know, first contact type uniform. Mm-hmm. You get Savick from Search for Spock. You get Captain Harriman of Generations Enterprise B. You get Kirk from First Contact, where he's smashed his ships with his phaser.
Yep.
And then, of course, you get Data, you know, with the Sailor Edition. You get Chekov from the Voyage Home from the Nuclear Wessels Edition.
And then, Nuclear Wessels.
That's what it says.
I know.
It says Nuclear Wessels Edition.
Oh, Jesus.
Then they have David Marcus, which is Kirk's son. They have the mirror universe of Hoshi Sato. They have, you know, Dr. Crusher. They have Tom Paris from one of the his Captain Proton holodeck program. So, so that's neat. And then Master Replicas. It's not Master Collector. Master Replicas has the new. They're going to have a new Worf from season 3 of Picard. They're going to have Picard. They're going to have Riker. They're going to have Geordi. And they're going to have Data so far. And I guess Data and Geordi had just approved their figure during Comic-Con.
Cool.
And then we'll have Strange New Worlds and Lower Decks. And so these are not in scale with the Nacelle figures. Because the Nacelle figures are like almost like 7 or 8 inch tall figures. These are the 4.5 inch. So they're going to almost scale with our old Playmates toys.
Oh, very cool.
And they look neat. Like the detail on them is good. But these 4.5 inch figures very much look like they're 4.5 inch figures. Like they don't have the full detail that I was kind of hoping for.
Right. Yeah.
Just, I mean, even zooming in and looking at them, I mean, they're a lot nicer than the Playmates figures for sure. Like they've got more articulation in the joints and, you know, ankle, knee, waist, elbow, like they can swivel all around, whereas the old stuff couldn't. And the paint decor is great. But as tempting as these are, I don't see me ever owning them. Sadly.
Yeah.
Just because of the fact that they cost as much as the ones from Nacelle. And the Nacelle figures literally come with way more stuff than these, and they're the same price.
True.
And I may actually see the Nacelle stuff in the store, and BBTS will sell them. Whereas Master Replicas, it's only on their site, and those are worldwide, but it's only on their site.
Yeah.
So I don't ever see me owning them, but so yeah, that rounds out my Star Trek figure conversation. I believe you had something about Masters of the Universe and Transformers.
Holy crap. It went nuts at SDCC. And that's a joke, folks. So I've been doing, what did we call it? It was convention attention, I think. Over on Geekcast Radio, the flagship podcast of our lovely network here, my buddy Christopher Morton and our other buddy Matt, what's Matt's, Jesus, I forget what his last name is. Anyway, Matt Crowder. We've been doing off and on convention attention since about 2021 because they go to conventions out in Portland and Washington. They go to Rose City Comic Con. They go to Emerald City Comic Con. And whenever we do like Emerald City Comic Con, ECCC, we ended up doing ECCCCCC. So that's why I do SDCCCC. Anyway. But yeah, it was SDCC this year was an explosion of, oh my God, this has happened. First of all, I'm just going to mention this. We're not going to really talk about this, but first time ever George Lucas was at San Diego Comic-Con. Holy crap. Holy crap. Yeah, Masters of the Universe from Mattel crossing over with Hasbro, Transformers, Megatron Armor Skeletor, and Bumblebee Armor Man-at-Arms. Holy crap. What?
I mean, they definitely look interesting.
Yeah.
I would have never seen these crossovers happening.
Yeah.
But they already did the Turtle universe with Masters.
Yeah.
So it's another Mattel Hasbro collaboration.
Yeah. I mean, Turtles and Masters. That's Mattel and Playmate. Anyway, I mean, so Skeletor as Megatron and Man-at-Arms as Bumblebee. I kind of see it. I like the packaging. The packaging is cool as hell. That looks really cool. There was an artist years ago that did drawings of like He-Man as Optimus Prime, but it was basically like Optimus Prime's body with He-Man's head kind of thing. I'll have to see if I can find those images on my Facebook, but I think the Skeletor as Megatron works better than the Man-at-Arms as Bumblebee.
I mean, I concur.
Yeah, the Skeletor as Megatron looks so badass. And I know I can already hear every single Transformers fan saying, oh my God, they don't transform. How are they? They're crossover character things, folks. It would be cool. It would absolutely be cool if we had a Skeletor Transformer. I think that would be amazing. But in reality, I don't think that's ever going to happen. I just don't think it'll ever happen. But it would be cool if it did. These, however, are very, very cool.
These will be in stores.
Oh, yeah. Yep, these will be in stores. People will be able to get these. The cool thing about the Man-at-Arms as Bumblebee is that he has the helmet. He has the helmet, the faceplate, the whatever. So you can have Man-at-Arms show his face, or you can have him wear the mask helmet thing, that Bumblebee's battle mask thing. So that is cool. So it isn't. So you're kind of getting double the whatever. So that is very, very cool. I like it. Is it something I'm probably going to get? No. But it was just gangbusters seeing, oh, that Skeletor. Damn it. It looks so good. Jeez, it looks so damn good. Anyway.
Yeah, the Skeletor I really like.
Yeah, it looks so damn good. And then in comic book news coming from a little known website, geekcastradio.com.
Shameless plug.
Wonder where that website comes from. You never know, folks. 16 and a half years. We have a press release from IDW Publishing Comics and Entertainment. The new era of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles comics all-star new creative team multiverse event crossover with the King of the Monsters and more. From Los Angeles, California, July 25th, 2025, IDW Publishing is proud to announce the ambitious and fan-focused plans for the future of the acclaimed and best-selling line of TMNT comic books. So we have TMNT number 13. After an incredible ongoing series run from Jason Aaron and Juan Ferreira, I'm sorry if I mispronounced that, the high quality, heartfelt and exciting storytelling that fans deserve won't miss a beat with the arrival of an all-star duo, Eisner-winning writer Gene Luen Yang, who wrote on Shang-Chi and Superman Smashes the Clan, Avatar The Last Airbender, and more, and blockbuster artist Freddie E. Williams II, Batman TMNT, Turtles of Grayskull, He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, etc., etc. Also joining the line is group editor Jake Thomas, formerly of Marvel, starting their run with TMNT number 13 in December. This all-new story arc will provide fans with a fresh jumping-on point as the Heroes in a Half Shell are back together and hopeful about the future of the city. But there's a dark and personal danger lurking in the shadows as a deadly new assassin makes their debut. And we go on to hear from the various new creative team in this press release. They are also going to be doing Battle Nexus series. They're going to that big crossover is TMNT Godzilla. So they're going to do that. My buddy Joe Reed and I have been doing, we need to get back to it, but we have covered every single issue, every single everything, almost, of the IDW run of TMNT. We're still catching up on the initial run. We got to get to that 150, and then we'll get to this new era that they're doing now. But it's so good. I will always say what I said in issue 55. If you have ever been a TMNT fan, you need to be reading this comic. I got quoted on issue 50. I need to go find that book and get it framed because damn.
Yeah, it's on my wall.
I know.
I might actually have another one.
That's fine. Whatever. It is what it is. You can take a picture of that and send that to me so I can put it on the Facebook page. Seriously, IDW TMNT is quite literally the shit. It's amazing. There's little tiny, tiny nitpick and quibbles, but Joe and I have had a blast. I don't even know. I think it's something out of the 577 episodes the Pullbag has, I think something like 65 episodes is the entire run to the point that we are at right now. And we still have to record like 7 episodes to finish the run, the original 150 issue comic run. And then we'll obviously start with this new era that they have here. But they do so many good things. So many good things. So we got that. And then, oh boy. finally, after Jesus, how long has it been? Oh man, I can't math.
13 years. Hour. I don't know. 15 years.
15 years. Jesus. 15 years. Are you kidding me? Okay. I understand that it took them. Let's see, 82. I understand it took them 28 years between 1982 and 2010 to make a sequel to Tron. But to make a sequel to Tron Legacy, especially after giving us Tron the next day, that little short film where Ram and Tron meet up, where Bruce Boxleitner goes to meet the guy that plays the Ram character, and they talk about doing whatever. They give us that little teaser. It took them 15 damn years for Tron Ares, October. I think it's October 17th. It's coming out. I think that's what it is. Yeah, October 10th. It's supposed to be out October 10th, 2025. Oh, God. It stars Jared Joker Idiot Leto. I will say, though, the trailer that I saw, the teaser that I saw before the actual trailer, this is the first film of his that I've ever seen him do that I feel like it's an actual character, that it isn't just him trying to portray some character that's been in the zeitgeist for 50, 60, 70, like Joker. Somebody has to step into the Joker's shoes and fill them. Like, that's a character that's been around for so long. It's not a new character. You can't put your stamp, you can put your stamp on it, but it's, you know what I mean? Like, it's an established thing. So this is the first trailer. This is the first time I've seen Leto where it's like, oh, okay. So it's him, Greta Lee as Eve Kim, Evan Peters as Julian Dillinger, Hassan, I don't know, he doesn't say who he's playing, Jodie Turner-Smith as Athena, and others in this, Gillian Anderson as Elizabeth Dillinger, and of course, Jeff Bridges returns as Kevin Flynn. After seeing the new trailer that they dropped, I'm interested, but I need to see another trailer.
I concur.
I need to see more than what they showed in this first trailer, because like even Wikipedia doesn't really give like the quoted premise from Walt Disney that's written here in Wikipedia. Tron Ares follows a highly sophisticated program, Ares, who is sent from the digital world into the real world on a dangerous mission marking humankind's first encounter with AI beings. I don't know what happened to whatever was supposed to be after Tron Legacy with Sam and Korra and all that.
I wish they would have continued that storyline.
Yes, that's my point. I don't know what happened with all of that, but I wanted that to get, like, you can introduce this, but I wanted that to continue because I love Tron Legacy. I literally just, like, 4 or 5 months ago, I just bought the Blu-ray. Like, because I missed seeing it and it wasn't on wherever I was looking for it online. And I'm like, oh, cool. Blu-ray, yay. So,
yeah, I wish we knew what happened.
Yep.
But again, yeah.
Yep.
We'll see, I guess.
Yeah, we'll see. And then Michael Keaton should be Alfred.
That's not what that meant.
I know.
No, it was, this article was basically saying, remember when Michael Keaton turned into Arkham Batman? Like, he had all the gadgets, he went, fought, he, you know, it, it was like watching the Arkham game battles. You know, very like he was very tactical, very, you know, had all the gadgets, the gear, the fighting style. And he wasn't like Ben Affleck Batman of like, oh, let's kill everybody. Like,
yeah,
he would maim people.
Yeah,
but it was in normal fashion, you know, and a lot of the movements he did were exactly like the Arkham games. Mm-hmm. And then the, you know, when he was scouting out stuff, you know, he had the Batwing, he had the, you know, the Batmobile type stuff, he had the Batcave, he had the different uniforms. You get to see him, you know, in the cave, and it was amazing to see all of that, because we haven't gotten a Batman like this really ever, like an all in one package.
Right. Yeah.
Like we've had segments of this Batman, but yep, never him all in one package. And that's about the only good thing about this Flash film, is that we got everything all in one package. Although the movie was crap, Keaton and Batman were key. And so that's what this Facebook post was saying, is this is exactly how James Gunn's Batman should be in the DCU.
Yep.
And I concur. Like, but I also, at the same time, I wish they would do a standalone trilogy of Batman Beyond and have Bruce play, you know, played old man Bruce played by Keaton. Doesn't have to be in the suit, but
yeah, no, he doesn't have to be in the suit.
But yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. You just got to find the right person to play Terry. And I'm sorry, Robert Pattinson is not the right person to play Terry.
No.
We currently, as of this recording, Studio 2009 just released episode 145. We are 55 episodes away from the 200th episode of that podcast. The 200th episode of that podcast will be Steve and I talking about Nolan's Dark Knight trilogy, all three films in one show. After that, my thoughts were that we would tackle the 3-hour mess that is The Batman. I don't know if I can, because the first time I watched that,
it was movie, 3 hours.
Yes.
Why?
Let me,
it's just freaking Batman.
Yeah. Let me look it up just to make sure I have it right, because The Batman 2022 superhero film. God. Yeah. That's what I remember. Running time, 176 minutes. Hey, Google. How many hours is 176 minutes?
I don't get that. Like Endgame? Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This?
But why? Like, I don't know, but like I tried, it was on, I don't think I ordered it on my cable on Xfinity or something, but it was on something. I don't know. I watched it somewhere when it came out on digital. I didn't buy it because I was not going to pay for it. I mean, I probably rented it somewhere, or it was a free, but I watched it. So I didn't download it. I didn't do anything illegal or anything to get it, but I saw it and I watched it. But as I was watching it, when it got released on digital or whatever, I'm like, okay, the movie stops here, right? No, we have blah, blah, blah. Like, we have all this left. And I'm like, really? And Pattinson was an okay Batman. He was serviceable. But I think he's too young. I don't know. Like, I gotta go back and rewatch it. I really don't want to, because it's 3 friggin' hours. Like, can't believe I'm gonna say this. I would rather watch all 3 Lord of the Rings movies and cover those on Studio 2009 than watch The Batman. and those are way longer.
It's been a long time since I've seen those too.
Like, I would rather take the time to see if I enjoy those than watch The Batman again, because it was just too much. So anyway, where are we? We are at TMNT Godzilla Cap versus Xenomorph.
Yep.
So what are we doing with this?
I just think it's funny that we're getting more of these crossovers.
Yeah.
I mean, we did get Predator with a new ending featuring Arnold in the end of the movie.
Yep.
And then we're getting a Star Wars Maul Shadow Lord. And then Ahsoka season 2, and
yep, Ahsoka season 2. You know, I'm really interested in that Shadow Lord show. That, like, I heard what's his nuts, Whitmer talking about that.
Sam Witwer.
Yeah. That, like, I've never really cared about Darth Maul. Like, okay, he got sliced in half. He's dead. He's gone. Whatever. I've seen Clone Wars. I've watched Clone Wars. I saw him come back in Clone Wars. He was kind of cool. But, like, he's not a character I've, like, whatever. But, yeah. I wish they had better pictures of the stupid Rodimus. Because, damn, man. Like, you can't do the guy some justice over here. Anyway, but yeah, no, yes, Shadow Lord. I think it's cool that they're like giving him, like, if Ahsoka can have her own series, if the Bad Batch get their own series, I think it's all right. Star Wars has got to do something. I mean, they got to figure something out until the next movie, whatever the next movie is going to be. I forget what the Mandalorian and Grogu or whatever it is.
Yeah, there's that. And then we also have they're bringing Vader's apprentice, Starkiller, which Sam Witwer, I think.
He voices, yep.
Yeah, he also voices Maul.
Yep.
But I think it would be funny if he got to play the character.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
In Ahsoka season 2, which they had to do because the original actor that was one of the Sith had passed away sadly after the season aired.
Yeah,
but I'm liking Ahsoka just because we have
I love Ahsoka.
We're getting a lot of the not only like Clone Wars payoffs, but we're also getting Star Wars Rebels payoffs.
Yep. And then we have the 3-0 MDLX and DLX Transformers, MDLX Rodimus, DLX Nemesis Prime, Primal, and more shown. So this is the Lost Light Rodimus when he turned purple. And
so what's the deal with that?
Okay. It's part of the comic. He repainted himself. It's an ego thing in the comic. It's an ego. I don't remember exactly, but it was when they went to in IDW Transformers, there are multiple 1.0, 2.0, 3.0 sections of. So IDW 2.0, they had More Than Meets the Eye and Robots in Disguise. More Than Meets the Eye was Rodimus and the crew of the Lost Light ship out in space doing space adventures and other things. Robots in Disguise was Starscream, Bumblebee, Metal Hawk, and a bunch of other robots on Cybertron doing political things and other things on Cybertron. So if you read More Than Meets the Eye, you're going to get Rodimus and Rung and Tailgate and Swerve and a bunch of other robots out in space. And Rodimus is the leader of those group, and he's the captain of the Lost Light ship. And as that story progressed, it eventually IDW rebranded, and the comics became Lost Light and Optimus Prime. Optimus Prime was the Cybertron book. Lost Light was the Rodimus out in space book. And something happened between the end of More Than Meets the Eye and the beginning of Lost Light where he decided to repaint himself purple and all these other colors. The only problem I have with these images, and I thought TFW would have better images, is I can't see his fucking head. Like, I know I'm legally blind, folks, and I'm looking at this image, but like, does he not have a head, or am I just going insane?
Are you going insane?
I think I'm going insane.
Now, the other part I was trying to bring up, and I thought it was lumped into this group. Mm-hmm. It's the Yolo Park.
Yeah.
Beast Wars figures.
Yeah.
And they look like the masterpiece without transformation.
Yeah.
I mean, they honestly do, because you get Dinobot, you get Black Arachnia, you get Optimus Primal, and you get Megatron.
Yep.
And they look cool.
Yeah, they look really cool.
You get a bunch of posability. Yeah. Yeah. I would be, depending on price, I'd be tempted on the Megatron.
Where is the Megatron?
So, the post was made by TFW on the 17th.
Oh, okay.
I just posted it in the chat, but it's the the Primal looks spot on, the Dinobot looks spot on, Black Retina, Megatron.
Yeah.
So, I mean, don't get me wrong, I've got the masterpiece of two of these four.
Yeah, but these are just like,
they're nice little display items that you don't have to worry about breaking, because they literally just stand there and you can pose them.
Yeah, exactly.
So I could technically put the other ones in Beast.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Again, I don't want to sit here and insult the brand or the figures or the characters or whatever, but these are essentially
Action Masters.
They're Action Masters, but what I was going to say was, these are Action Masters if they were Funko Pops. They're the same. The only reason why I say it, it's the same concept, like you just said, you can have these stand there as the character and you can just appreciate them. That's the same thing that I do with the Funko Pops. It's just the character. I don't have to do anything. It's the same damn concept. So, yeah. But anyway. Alrighty then. Okay, so what is today? Today is, oh, good. Hopefully it comes out at midnight, because I want to watch it as soon as it comes out. July 29th. So as of this recording, tomorrow, but you guys will probably hear this in the past, but July 29th on Netflix. WWE, I don't know what the hell it's actually. It's Under the Matter, under the whatever. It's what the hell is this called? WWE Unreal, How John Cena Turned Heel, sneak peek. So that's the video I saw on YouTube, and basically on Netflix, July 29th, they're going to do a special of how they pulled off John Cena's heel turn. And I am really excited to see the behind the scenes for this, because nobody ever expected this. I have been watching wrestling off and on my entire life. You heard me talk about this recently on the Die Hard 5 episode. I saw Hulk Hogan, whatever date in 1980 something, wrestling with Junkyard Dog against the Funk Brothers, and Hulk Hogan recently passed away, kind of thing. And I remember when I came back into wrestling, John Cena had just debuted. So I've been watching John off and on his entire career over these last 20 something, almost 30 something years. And no one ever expected John Cena to turn heel. So the link I sent you was just a video teaser clip of the behind the scenes special that Netflix is going to air, I guess, on the 29th of, how they pulled that off. And the biker mice are coming back. What you got on the biker mice?
So this is interesting because, again, Nacelle is involved with this. Mm-hmm. And I've seen the figures in the store. I'm kind of surprised because, well, I mean, they're highly detailed. They look animation. They look good. I know they're doing an SDCC exclusive three pack of them, of the three main characters, and I don't pretend to remember any of their names. I know Rob Paulson voices one of them. This animated reboot is going to be executive produced by Ryan Reynolds, Brian Volkweis, and George Dewey.
Right.
To have the humor, heart and action that made the original series a standout, and then it'll join the RoboForce animated series, which is produced by Dwayne Johnson, Volkweis, and Dana Garcia as part of the expanding Nacelleverse lineup. So Brian Volkweis is the CEO and founder of Nacelle, and their figures, I mean, they've got magnets, they've got, you know, the figures, they've got the, what's funny is there's a couple of different versions. Like they have those, you know, really crappy, you know how they had the Transformers that were just like the little 3-inch tall figures. So they've got them here too, of some of the biker mice. And then they've got the fully articulated ones, which are the, you know, your $25 figure line. What's funny is they're all clearanced. All of the Nacelle stuff is clearanced at Walmart.
Oh no.
Like, it's the only place they sell it is Walmart.
Oh no.
But it's all clearance for like half price, which tells me they don't sell. So the only way they're going to is if people buy them directly. Like, cause I can't see Walmart continuing to, you know, get them and then clearance them out.
So how is this company making money if these toys aren't selling?
Evidently they are somewhere, or they're getting some cash deal somewhere, because there's no way.
Like, yeah,
I don't understand it.
I don't understand it either. Hey, Brian, if you want to come on the podcast and talk to us about it, let us know.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I love their work. Transformers.
Not
the Transformers, but the biker mice that they've created. I like the Star Trek stuff that they're going to be coming out with. But yeah, I honestly have no idea.
Yeah, that's crazy. Absolutely crazy. And then we end where we began, back at Star Trek. Comics and audio podcasts. Yay.
Yep. So, yeah, There's two things. There's the Star Trek The Last Starship, which is, it takes place after the burn and in Discovery timeline. Like, it's before the Discovery shows up, but it's after the burn, which I still think is a stupid thing, but I digress. The last starship will reveal the story of the burn, the cataclysmic event that was hinted at in Star Trek Discovery. It didn't really hint at it. They like literally did a flashback and showed that the second that these ships try to use warp drive, because someone of Saru's race was tied to a dilithium mine, like born on it, and had some psychic energy with the dilithium that was put in all the ships through a tantrum, and then all of the dilithium and all the ships exploded.
Jesus Christ.
Causing all the ships to go away. Like literally, oh, that's God. What it was. It was like they were trying to do a really poor excuse for like the Genesis planet where Spock, when he was growing,
right,
and had the growing pains, where the Genesis planet would shake and start, you know, erupting.
Yeah.
And it was like they were trying to do that, but with this. So anyways, they're doing the story, and they're claiming that it's a story about how you hold on to hope and to motivation when you're completely alone. How do you hold to the core of the end of all things? The biggest reveal is that James T. Kirk would be resurrected in the last starship. And they were like, but it won't be just from nostalgia. They're like, whatever you think we're doing with Kirk, it's not playing a bunch of hits. We looked at Trek history and said, who would the burn hurt the most? And then Kirk stood out. So I don't understand what, unless they're trying to play to the fact that Kirk, like, he loves the Federation, like mm-hmm. Starfleet, mm-hmm. and would do anything for it. So I'm wondering if that's where this is going. Because they even have a Kirk class starship in the future, like when Discovery shows up, and you know, a Constitution class, like a new Constitution past the one that was in Picard, because they have a Neo Constitution, which is Constitution class 3. But I'm wondering how they're going to bring Kirk into this. I know that they're playing with the plot hole that Picard season 3 showed in the Section 31 space station. Because Kirk's remains were in it from after generations, and he was alive.
Ah, yes.
So they reanimated him after he died on Viridian 3. So I'm wondering how this plays out. Unless they watch him explain the fact that, oh, because he was in the Nexus, he didn't actually die. It started like a Doctor Who moment, and he had a rebirth. So he's younger now. Or they cloned him. I don't know. But or used Borg nanites to revive him, like they did in William Shatner's book, The Return. I don't know. We'll find out in this. But it'll be interesting to see how he's back. And then the fact that it's literally almost 800 years after he died.
Wow.
So it'll be interesting. I'm looking forward to seeing how this one plays out more than the red shirts. Like the red shirts, I honestly don't care. I'll check it out, but I honestly don't care. This I'm, because Kirk's in it, I'm intrigued.
Oh, I saw the red shirts comic from IDW. I was like, hey. I was like, I wonder which one's going to go first and which one's going to go last. The real irony would be is if they all survived.
Well, they said that they won't, but yeah.
Well, okay, fine, but you know.
But yeah. So then the last thing we've got for the news portion is like Star Trek Con audio series.
Mm-hmm.
Which their all new scripted podcast is set to premiere on Star Trek Day, September 8th, 2025.
Hmm. Okay.
And they're going to be doing some time jumps with it. So they're saying Khan is back. He's actually dead. Based on the trailer, it explores the untold events on CD Alpha 5, chronicling Khan's descent from a superhero and human visionary into the vengeful villain seen in Wrath of Khan. New episodes will release weekly on Mondays through November 3rd. And it sounds like it's just going to be free. It just says wherever you get your podcast. So I'll be checking it out. They're going to have Khan in it. They're going to have another actor play Lieutenant Marla MacGyvers, who came from the original series Enterprise ship and went with Khan when he got outcast. And then they're going to have this new character, Dr. Roslyn Lear, who is going to be on the Excelsior. Because she's chronicling what happened on CD Alpha 5 and the stuff pertaining to Khan. And we get George Takei coming back as Captain Sulu and Tim Russ reprising his role, but as a younger Tuvok, like an ensign Tuvok on the on the Excelsior.
Nice.
And they're playing into the fact that those two were on an episode of Voyager together playing this, you know, kind of thing. Yep. This Dr. Roslyn Lear is going to be kind of digging into the whole of Khan and the CD Alpha 5 and trying to get like to the bottom of the story of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's actually like 10, 15 years after Khan was killed. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. It's also written and directed by Nicholas Meyer, who wrote and directed Star Trek II: The Wrath of Khan and Star Trek VI: The Undiscovered Country.
Nice. Very cool.
So if anybody knows about Khan, it's this guy.
Oh yeah, absolutely. That's cool.
So yeah, I'm super excited to see how this one comes out, and I will be checking it out.
Very awesome. Very awesome.
So with that, Happy Gilmore 2, but,
Yeah.
Did you want to go first on your thoughts?
What have we been saying recently? Don't wait X number of years to make a freaking sequel.
I will say it was worth it, but yeah, they did wait too long, or they could have had Chubbs.
Yeah, but like, okay.
He was supposed to be in it.
Yeah, I know he was supposed to be in it because
they had to rewrite
the movie. They rewrote the movie after he died in 2024. So as I was watching them, so here's how I... I had a rough night last night. I ended up going to bed at like 8 o'clock, which means I woke up at 2 a.m. this morning. And by this morning, I mean the morning of July 28th, 2025. So it's a Monday. I hate Mondays. But so I'm like, okay, I'm going to go ahead and watch the movie, take my notes. And that way I'll be ready for the recording when we record the podcast. So I'm sitting here and I'm doing this and doing that. And I know what Sandler's humor is. I know what the Happy Gilmore humor style is because I saw the movie 29 years ago. I know what the original Happy Gilmore is like. The first 10 minutes, I'm like, I really hate this fucking movie. I'm like, I want this movie to be over with. Do I really have to watch this?
I was kind of upset the first 20 minutes of the movie, like watching his life spiral. I'm like, oh, this sucks.
Like, and why did it have to be him that, oh my God, acts like a golf ball killed his wife? Really?
Oh, I know. She, really? Yeah. So anybody like, listening to this, this happens in the first 10, 15 minutes of the movie. There will be extreme spoilers from here on out. If you've heard that, I'm sorry, but yeah. Anyways, yeah, I was really perturbed. Like, she opened her mouth and I was like, oh, what the, like, why?
Okay, so when she opened, okay, so yes,
when folks, it happened, I knew
spoiler. And if you want to do some, oh, you know what, when you edit this, I'm going to send you the Joker clip so that way you can cut before, like in the edit before I even started talking 5 minutes ago or whatever it was, you can cut that Joker clip in. Spoilers. So here's what I thought was going to happen in that scene. when he raised up and hit the ball and the ball went where it went, I didn't think it was going to hit her in the head. I thought she was going to end up swallowing it. I thought it was going to go right in her mouth and she was going to swallow it and choke to death. That's what I thought was going to happen. But no, it hits her in the head. And I'm sitting here thinking, you got killed by a golf ball? Really? Really? So as the movie progresses, I fast forwarded a few times through some of the shenanigans, through some of the slapstick, because I really don't like Happy Gilmore slapstick. It was just a little too much for me. It's not that it disgusted me or what. It was just a little like, I'm like, okay, we get it.
Well, the mooning and like,
yeah, like whatever, get on with the story already. And then as I'm watching the movie and his life spirals, but he gets it back on track and he goes to the thing and does the thing. I'm like, this is just the first movie all over again, 30 something, almost 30 years later. That's all it is. Seriously. His life, like the first movie, he loses his grandma's house. He lays on the couch. The movers are like, yeah, blah, 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 go. You can't play hockey, blah, 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 go get golf. He meets Chubbs. Chubbs teaches him, blah, 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 blah. Same shit happens in this movie. His life spirals. He goes back to golf. He starts drinking during the first couple of golf sessions.
Well, he starts drinking like everywhere, the grocery store, exactly. Finding the hidden flasks everywhere was hilarious.
Oh my God. No. I am. Okay. I know I'm going to sound like a straight edge person, but I will say, and I've said this on podcasts in the last 17 years that I've been podcasting, the last 16 and a half years of this network, I've had alcohol in my lifetime. Hell, my uncle got me drunk on a fishing boat in 1987 when I was 7 years old. So don't get me wrong. Okay. I've had alcohol. It's all right, but it's not my thing. So normally I don't drink. And I went through something with my late wife where she needed certain amounts of certain alcohols to deal with her pain. Okay. But like, I don't know. It didn't offend me. It didn't like I'm not so soft where it's like, oh my God, this is the worst thing ever. This makes the movie horrible. No, but it was just a little bit too much of a spiral. But as he's spiraling out and he comes back in, I'm like, oh, okay. So he's getting his shit back together and this, that, and the other thing and everything else. I'm like, oh, okay, good, cool. And we get to the point, the best part of the movie, where him and Shooter. I love Christopher McDonald.
Oh, he was awesome in this movie. I felt like this was more about him than it was like Happy. About,
yeah.
And I feel like they were giving him a redemption arc.
Okay. I will say this now, because we're going to talk about this next year at some point when we do the 30th anniversary for the original film. Shooter McGavin is not the villain of either of these films. He may seem like the villain of the first film, but he really isn't. The villain of these films is Ben Stiller. He always has been. He always will be. Hate that guy. The best thing The best thing that ever happened to that guy is his face on Happy's golf ball at the end of this movie. Shooter. Oh, the two of them sitting at the grave and just talking, finally having a moment and talking it out. Oh my God. Loved it. Absolutely loved it. So good. Yeah. Do I think this movie needed to be made now? I guess, but probably, I don't know. I just, it's just my thing about the sequel thing. Like we said, waiting so long to do it kind of thing. That's the problem I have. It has nothing to do with Adam Sandler or Christopher McDonald or any of the writers or the director or any of the anything. It's just the time thing. And I saw a news article somewhere and I took a screenshot and I just told you, I said, the gist of the article is this person who wrote the article said the next Adam Sandler movie that needs a sequel from years ago is Big Daddy. And I'm like, no, don't stop. Please, no. Like, excuse me. I want to see an Adam Sandler original in 2026 or 2027. I don't mind his comedy. I know what his comedy style is. I get it. I want, if he wants to do more movies, great. But I want to see something new from Adam Sandler. Like, okay, Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore, The Wedding Singer, Waterboy, Little Nicky.
I wouldn't mind a Billy Madison follow up, but I don't think he could do it because like Norm MacDonald's gone, the guy who plays his dad's gone. Like,
yeah, we don't know. We don't need.
I think that one's fine. Like,
okay, so okay,
what one would you want a sequel to? Like,
First Dates.
Okay.
But here's the thing. I want a 51st Date sequel where it's him and her, but in some sort of alternate dream sequence thing. It doesn't affect him and her, but it has the Billy Madison like tribute. So you get Veronica. Like, you still, like, you get both. Like, without having to do a Billy Madison sequel, you know what I mean? Like, instead of having to get all of those characters, you can get Veronica. I don't know. That would be stupid. But like I said, I want to see him do something new. Something that he hasn't done before. Or some other something, that, like, come up with something different. Come up with something new. Like, don't just go back to the well. Great, you've done Happy Gilmore 2. It was a fairly good sequel. It gave that character a decent ending, even though his wife is dead. I don't know. It just... because even though it's been 4 years, my wife's dead, his wife's dead. I don't know. It just... even though I've moved on at this point, you know what I mean? It just, I don't know. It just, like I said.
Yeah. I mean,
please just do something original, Adam.
Well, he did. And a lot of his newer stuff's been crap.
Okay. Yeah. But hold on. Give me your thoughts, because you haven't really said your thoughts on it. So give me your thoughts. I'm going to go on mute for a minute because I got to look some stuff up. But talk about Happy Gilmore 2.
So Happy Gilmore 2, the start of the movie, I didn't really love. I was a little surprised that they killed his wife in the beginning. I was also surprised that, like, he went down the drunk road. And then, you know, hell there. And there's just been so many different callbacks to his old films. And then, you know, he's meeting with his wife in his happy place. He's playing golf with the other kids. You know, he's at the grocery store and he throws the guy in the lobster tank. The guy in the lobster tank that he threw in that runs the Maxi golf or whatever. I absolutely hated him and all of his lackeys. But I think it was also like his way of saying, like, a lot of the new hotness in media and influencer crap is it sucks. Because it's all flash, no substance.
Yeah.
And that was what he was. I that's the allegory I kind of get from that, is like, just because it's old, you don't throw it away, because like it still serves a good purpose. And so like all those older guys playing golf, and you know, and then you know, of course his wife in real life playing the dance instructor for his real life daughter that was his daughter in the program, mm-hmm. was funny. And then his other daughter was in the meetings with Hal and is the one that turned him in by the end of the film. And so that was funny. And then I didn't love Chubb's son being in it. I know that originally it was supposed to be a different type of character and, you know, with Chubb's in it, but, you know, they gave him somewhat of a redemption arc and he was kind of there, but it was kind of unnecessary. Then you get, a lot of the repetitive beats, you know, like, the guy that was yelling Jackass, you know, and then Eminem was playing his son.
Yep.
And very same shtick, same thing with like Chubb's son, very same shtick with the hand situation. He's like, how'd you lose your hand, alligator? He's like, no, vending machine. I was like, okay, that's funny, but it's stupid. And then like Eminem getting eaten by four alligators.
Yeah, that was a little much.
It wasn't much because like it really didn't show anything, but it was funny because he's like, come on, come on. And like he's getting bit and like he's just standing there and then eventually just disappears with really crappy like CGI. I thought, you know, then he brought in Nick Swartzen as like the guy that had the shoe stuck up his rump.
Yep.
And managed to do the weird twist thing and, you know, could rocket the ball. And then all of the Maxi guys could do it because they cut something in their spine. It just looked weird, especially with Haley Joel Osment doing it.
Oh, that's what I wanted to bring up.
Like, he was weird, man.
Okay, when I looked at the cast listing for this, and I saw that Mr. Six Sense, I was like, wait, what? That's the kid from the. Oh, yeah. Wow, he grew up weird.
But yeah, it was kind of interesting seeing him in there. And then like Adam Sandler, you know, happy is like, oh yeah, whatever, Bill. And he's like, my name is blah, like just and then Happy gets in on a technicality because that guy quit.
Yeah.
And then finding the, you know, the guy you threw out the window in the first movie, you know, for taking grandma's house. And then he's like, I became something else so that people didn't hate me as much. I became a lawyer. And they're like, you thought becoming a lawyer was going to make you less hated? You know, the kids. And he's like, oh. But I did like how Shooter, like, he was a little nuts, especially when it came to the gold jacket. And then, he seemed more like unhinged, but he also could channel, you know, the classic Shooter when needed.
Yeah. And
he came unhinged when that guy was like, you're going to lead these new golfers. And he's like, we did this one. And he's like, that is not golf.
Yeah.
And like,
yeah, that was good.
That was one of my favorite things. And then he actually, like, we find him at the graveyard and that's how he like connects with Happy. And then they both kind of just, they're like, yeah, we're too old for this crap. Like just, they're like, let's just call it a day. Like, and then they just kind of found common ground and moved on from the whole situation. But I don't know. I really enjoyed Shooter and Happy's interactions as the film went on. I loved the fact that he got the redemptive hit.
Yep.
And then he did, you know, and Adam Sandler's Happy like caused him to do that. He's like, come on, Shooter. He's like, he's gone. He's long gone. He's like, no, he's still in there. And he did, like, folds his hand into the, you know, and
that was good.
Yeah. And then you got all of it back. And I was like, okay, this is great. And the weird way that they had to golf was really strange.
Yeah. So there's, what is it? There was another movie that did this kind of thing. And I can't think of what it was, but there has been a couple of movies that they, not Caddyshack 2, because I know that had a golf course like this, because Jackie put it in there. But I don't like, I don't know. It was just freaking weird. And that guy ran the maxi. Oh, God.
He was annoying. I did love when Shooter's like, I don't like this, blah, blah, blah. And then he just like chucks the coffee in his face.
Yep.
And then during the thing, the guy's like crap talking Shooter. And he's like, you want me to throw coffee in the other eye?
Exactly.
He's like, where's my pancakes?
That's right. Where's my pancakes? Give me that syrup.
But yeah, I hated that guy. I thought it was funny that Happy threw him in with the lobsters. He's like, hey, turn off the security cameras to this area for like 5 minutes. And he threw him in and he got bit up by lobsters.
Oh, yeah, that was crazy.
And then the guy had like fart breath.
Yep.
Which I was like, okay, this is crude humor. I'm like, it's stupid, but it's funny. And then by the end of the movie, you find out that his drink is like causing like this thing in their mouth to like completely rot away their mouth, which is why he had fart breath.
Yeah, there was something wrong with the energy drink. Yeah, so some of the humor was a little much, but some of it was funny. But really, where Adam Sandler's movies excel for me is in the emotional moments, like we already said with him and Shooter at the gravesite, with him and Shooter at the golf course, you know, helping each other out, kind of like that. Okay, the best thing in Happy Gilmore 2 to me is that Happy and Shooter became friends. If you had told me in 1996 that in 1997 we would get Happy Gilmore 2 or 1998, where they became friends, I would have never believed you. But almost 30 years later, yeah, sure. Awesome. Great. That's amazing. I was left with, when the movie ended, I was left with, okay, Happy's, you know, chapter is good. The book can close. We don't need any more. Please don't do any more Happy Gilmore. We're good. Like,
I think they left it off on a good note. Yeah. I don't feel like we need a new one, or we should get another one. I feel like that wrapped up the story.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So yeah.
But yeah, I mean, just my final thoughts on it before we go into like another time where we do a full on review. I would give it a 4.5 out of 5. Just, I mean, the Sandler jokes aside, I thought it was really funny and entertaining, and the nostalgia was kind of on point.
Yep, absolutely. So I'd probably give it a 4 out of 5. I got to take a full point off for some of the humor was just a little much for me, but 4 out of 5 is not bad.
I mean, I skipped the parts where like obviously his kids were mooning him.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was fun either way. So let us know as we close out this episode what you guys what stood out to you guys about SDCC. What was your favorite thing that popped out of that, or your favorite discussion that we've had on this episode so far? And if you'd like to get a hold of us, you can do so in many ways. You can email us feedback@geekcastradio.com. You can comment on this episode post on the website. You can also reach out to us on our Facebook page. And I'm on the Twitter. I'm still going to call it that, at SCP21. And yourself, sir.
I'm at TFU and Mike, and it will ever, forever be Twitter. Sorry, I don't call things X. So stupid. Why would you name it a letter?
It is stupid.
It makes no damn sense.
So, until next time, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks.
From classic icons to new sci-fi dreams, with every episode we'll unravel the themes. Let's geek out.
other laugh, keep the spirits high. Together we'll journey, reaching for the sky. Discussion, let's dive into lore. From Star Trek to Transformers, we're ready to soar. Superheroes clash as we spark up the flame. Alter Geek Podcast, remember the name.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Lowe's knows that more projects mean more tools. For a limited time, new and existing MyLowe's Rewards credit card members can get 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more, in-store and online. Don't wait to get the things you need. Get special financing today. Lowe's. We help. You save. Now through August 27th, choose 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more. Offer subject to credit approval and cannot be combined. Minimum monthly payments required. See store at Lowe's.com for details.